This is one of the very fascinating parts of the Christmas season that gets overlooked a lot. And this is when they take baby Jesus to the temple. And this is Luke chapter 2. Listen for a word from God for you. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many." Friends, again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Mary and Joseph come to the temple for Jesus' dedication. And as a parent of a firstborn child, you're a little nervous about who just kind of picks up your kid and holds them in his arms. And here is this man who had been watching for this birth of the Messiah for a long time. And there are two things that are very interesting that I want to focus on about Simeon is that he says, first, he's just happy to see the kid and is ready to die. He doesn't have to see all that will come after it. It's just enough to see the baby and go, okay, I can see what you're doing. That's good. It's a baby. But that's plenty. So take that with you. But then let's pay attention to what might make us a little bit nervous is that he says this child is destined for the falling and rising of many. Notice it's a little switch of the words. You think about rise and fall, you don't think about fall and rise. And what if those people are different? Well, the ones who are going to fall are the ones who are here, and the ones who are going to rise are the ones who are here. And if you're here, you're thinking that's pretty good. But if you're up here, that's not really the good news of the gospel. And chances are, if you've paid attention in the Bible, if you're here, you don't stay here long. You're down here, and then God continually spins this cycle of rising and falling. So wherever you are, just be prepared that this is how God works. You have to think about the Egyptians, very proud of their pyramids, but how does God show up in a burning shrub? So you know there's going to be some falling and rising going on. What you thought was the pinnacle of human achievement, the bush kind of tells you God's about something different. Think about what he does, and think about that switch of words. Change a word around and it messes up the whole saying. Don't hatch your chickens before they're counted. Nope. Just doesn't work. Twice shy, once bitten. Two in the bush is worth one in the hand. No. Better never than late. That was my mother's philosophy. With one stone, kill two birds. Good luck with that. Gold is not all that glitters, or stupid does as stupid is. Not quite the same. You change the wording. But isn't that what Jesus does? He changes the very image of power. Thank you, Bill. My mother had this strange habit of standing on her head. Even into her 70s, she would take a pillow and put it down, and then she would do a little tripod with her hands and her elbows, put her knees on it, and then raise her head up. And she could do this to the ability that the grandkids nor I couldn't do it. I tried it, blood ran to my head, and it just didn't go well. But she just thought that was the healthiest thing she could do. I guess everybody has their practice. Some people exercise, some people meditate. My mother would stand on her head. Now, this stand on her head, when you try it, it gives you a very different perspective on the world. What was high is now low. What was low is now high. I think that's kind of what Jesus does in the way he comes into the world. You think about it. Think about the list of blessings. Blessed are you. In Luke, it's blessed are the poor. Nobody wants to be blessed like that. Even in Matthew, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Who wants that? Hey, hope you mourn. That's what Jesus does. Hey, any of you, when you have 100 sheep and you lose one, don't you leave the 99 and go look for the one? No, this is turning the world upside down. It's putting us all on our heads where nobody's comfortable. And the blood all rushes there, and what should make sense no longer does. And that's the way God works. There's a quote from Barbara Brown Taylor that I want to share. We are the lovers of a God who specializes in turning the world's values upside down. We are the followers of a Lord who waited tables and washed feet. We're the heirs of a spirit who has power to revive the whole creation, beginning with us, but only if we allow it. By giving up all illusions that we know how to save ourselves and begging God one more time to show us how it's done. God in the form of a baby, a king resting in a hay trough, angels showing up to shepherds, shepherds visiting royalty, and magi bringing gifts to a poor baby in a third world country. This is the upside down way of God. Now, what I want you to think about and what I kind of wrestle with was this idea of Simeon. How could he be at peace? Knowing all this turmoil was coming. And I think depending on your perspective, depends on where you are in how this spinning goes. Simeon had a peace. Think about a couple of storms with me. The first was Jesus out in the boat. He's out in the boat, and the disciples think they're going to drown, and Jesus, perfectly at peace, is calm and still, and the disciples are terrified, and they wake up, and he says, "Peace, be still." I want to confess, I've tried that in the middle of a storm. Hey, who knows? Peace, be still. Didn't work. But as a pastor for 3 decades, I'll tell you, the biggest problem we have with peace is not so much that peace out there, but that peace in here. My biggest struggle is helping myself as well as helping others find peace that is inside. The rabbis had a practice called Midrash. And Midrash is telling a story about a Bible story to help interpret it. It's a storyteller's version, which I have an affinity with. So I want to tell you a story about that storm in the Old Testament, Noah, and what happened one day on the ark. And I have to find it because there's the details in here that are pretty good. So imagine with me Noah on the ark one day. And he had slipped away for a little peace and quiet up on deck. And his wife, Mrs. Noah, who I call Julie, because that was the name of that girl on Love Boat. So Julie comes up on deck and says, "Hey, Noah, we got a problem. Have you seen what the elephants are doing?" And he says, "No, what are they doing now?" She said, "Well, come down and see." And so he comes down, and the elephants had gotten into all the food, and they're just eating all the vegetables up, just right and left. They're eating so many here, there, everywhere. And after a while, they're eating so much food that the elephants on that side of the boat are getting so heavy, the boat is about to tip over. And everybody's freaking out. Nobody, they try pushing the elephants, they try grabbing them by the trunks, but you can't do that. You've seen elephants. You don't go making an elephant go where an elephant doesn't want to go. So Noah, in his very peaceful place, says, "Okay, God, you got us in this situation. What am I supposed to do?" And the Lord very quietly says, "Tickle the hyena." What did you say? tickle the hyena. Okay, so Noah gets a feather from one of the geese and goes over to the hyena and he tickles it on the nose. And hyenas, very famous for their laughing, he laughs and then he sits down. And so then what happens is he happens to sit down on the tail of the lion, who screams up, roar, the way lions do. Well, that startled the giraffe, who with his tall neck hit the rafters and knocked the monkey off. The monkey falls on a zebra's back. The zebra kicks and jumps and kicks and jumps and knocks over a barrel of fish. A moose comes along, steps on the fish, slides across the floor right into the hippo. The hippo then sits down and almost flattens two chickens and a peacock. Squawk, they shout out. Roof, roof, barks the dog, and it began to chase the chickens. And when the dog ran by, it scared the cat, who leaped over a rhino and surprised a mouse. And the mouse hurried inside a basket of vegetables, and then this green cabbage got lifted up by an elephant who looked down and saw the mouse. And as everybody knows, elephants are afraid of mice. And one ran to one side of the boat, and one ran to the other, and everything calmed down. I don't know if that happened or not, but it could have. That peace of trusting God, not knowing what's going to happen, doesn't give you the answers to calm your soul. You have to have a calm soul to be able to wait and see what's going to happen. And that's that peace that Simeon had. That where falling and rising was okay. Think about how you breathe. There is inhaling and exhaling. But then there's that in between. That stillness. After you've exhaled, but before you take anything in. Some say that the names for God, both Allah, Elohim, Alpha and Omega, have that beginning and end component, but in the middle is that perfect stillness. And in that perfect stillness, if you think about it, in that eye of the hurricane, no matter what's going on around you, there isn't top and bottom. There just is. There's a few copies left of some words I tried to organize out there, and this is based on the Tao, but it talks about this void, this peace. I don't like to read to you too much, but I wrote this, so I think it's okay. Accept your emptiness like the wagon wheel. The center hole, the middle void, makes movement possible. Be like a clay pot. Let your emptiness be for the use of all. Be like a house with room between the walls that makes life for others possible. Be like music. Give space between the notes to turn sounds into a song. When you find you're without, look to the empty space. Explore the void within, and there you'll find the way. For only one whose stomach is empty can be filled. Only a soul that is hungry can be fed by the way. That center of the wheel makes movement possible, but that axle holds still while everything spins around. And when you are in that deep center of God, high, low, left, right, chaos even, is just peace. Simeon had it. Rising and falling are what happened. In fact, good things come from falling and rising. And the way to experience them is by being open to God and letting that peace be within, so then it can be outside. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you and with me. And may it start today. Let us pray. God, we would know a kingdom different than this one. So that's when we've come, that's when we've gathered, that's when we lift our voices, praying as we were taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.